Well, that passage Robert's just read to us, for many of us as Christians, is a well-known story. The story of Martha and Mary. How when Jesus comes, the need to offer hospitality is there. And we see Martha getting busy, getting a meal ready. While verse 39, if you've got your Bible there, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, they would have probably been in one room. And so there is Martha busy away, doing whatever she's doing, getting food ready, and getting a little bit irritated. She can't quite hear what Jesus is saying, and she wants to hear, and Mary is just sitting listening. And it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem as if Mary is in with the understanding of what's important and what's necessary. And so she comes to Jesus there in verse 40. And she says to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus' reply is very clear. Verse 42. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha was busy doing for Jesus. Mary was busy listening to Jesus. And Jesus makes it very clear that that was the important thing. Now, you see, I love this. I love this because I'm a person who spends a lot of time reading the Bible, preparing sermons and things like that. So I know now from Jesus, I don't have to do the household chores. All I have to do, I do hope the internet hasn't gone down and the live stream hasn't suddenly shut off there, because obviously that's not what Jesus was saying. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. Jesus was an activist. We know that Jesus did. We see how Jesus washed his disciples' feet. We see how Jesus went about healing people. And just a couple of chapters further on in Luke's gospel, he tells his disciples to get dressed ready for service. But, there is something here that Jesus wants to teach Martha and Mary, and through them, to teach us. And what is it? One writer puts it like this, and let me quote: amid all life's duties and necessities, there is one supreme necessity which must always be given priority, and which, if circumstance compel us to choose, must always be chosen to the exclusion of all others. That supreme necessity is to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to him. And what Jesus was saying very clearly is our first priority as followers of Jesus is to spend time with him, to learn from his teaching. Now, friends, if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, and if a lot of your life is filled trying to work out what life's about, trying to find your purpose, your meaning in life, then what Jesus will say to you is, listen to me. Listen to me. And one of the ways I've found over the years working with people is that people listen to Jesus through the Gospels. And if you want a Gospel, there's a Gospel of Mark at the back. Please do pick one up. They're free. But through the Gospels, we hear Jesus speaking to us. But many of us here, I know, are followers of Jesus. And what Jesus is saying to us is, I've called you to be my servants. Please listen to me. I've called you to be my servants, but first, please listen to me. What Jesus shows us through this encounter with Mary and Martha is the priority of being with Jesus, the priority of listening to Jesus and learning from Jesus before we go on and serve him. It's not saying we don't have to serve. But the priority is to listen. The number of times I've gone down to the shops, got to the shops and thought, what am I meant to get? If only I'd listened. We listen before we serve. We listen before we serve. Now, I wonder what tomorrow looks like for you. What are you going to be doing tomorrow? Mark Green, in his excellent book, Thank God for Monday, talks about work, and he describes work as this. Work might be defined as the activities you are principally engaged in during the week, whether in or out of the home, paid or unpaid. What does work, in those terms, look like for you tomorrow? Because whatever our work is, that is our service. Whatever our work is, that is our service for God. We get this wrong. Churches get this wrong. We think what we do here on a Sunday is our service for God. Rubbish. What we do tomorrow is our service for God. So what does your week look like? And before you do that week, what are you going to do? Because Jesus is saying this, before we do service, we listen to him. Before we do service. So in a sense, being here this morning is great because we're listening to Jesus before we go out into the world to serve. Now all this fits in with a twin sermon series on rest. Because here in what Jesus is saying, we see something of a pattern. We see a particular emphasis. And we see the purpose of it all. And the first is the pattern that Jesus gives to his disciples. Because he taught these two women, and please note that they're women, and he taught them so that they would pass it on to other disciples as well. And he gave them a pattern to follow, a pattern of being with him before serving him. We need to sit before we work. Or we need to rest before we work. In Genesis chapter 1, and Amy referred to this in our prayers, we see how on the sixth day, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created them on the sixth day. Then Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So here's mankind. Mankind is created on the sixth day, given the task to work. And what do? The next day, they rest. They rest. Created to work, to be fruitful, but first they rested. And I think this is the pattern God gives us. That we rest to work, not rest from work. But in other words, rest is the impetus that carries us into the work and the service that God's called us for, rather than rest is something we do at the end of our work. And this is what I call a creation truth. It's something that is true for the whole of creation, no matter where we're at in terms of faith. God has put a pattern. God has put a rhythm, an order into our world of rest for work, but seeing rest as the impetus for our work. And that has implications for us. Implications for us who are followers of Jesus Christ. Henry was reminding us last Sunday that we see that one day in seven where we refrain from work, whatever work is for us, as vital, as God-given, as God-commanded. Now, I know it raises all kinds of questions in terms of what is my work and how can I have a day where I don't do it. But the principle is there. God wants us to have one day in seven where we rest so that we are prepared for the work of the next days ahead. That's the pattern. And Jesus here gives that pattern a particular emphasis. Because in this encounter with Mary and Martha, Jesus says what it means to rest. And he explains that sitting at his feet is the better part. Mary has chosen the better part. He's saying rest is not just about stopping work. It's not just about downing tools. It's not just about getting rid of the apron or whatever work is for you. Rest is spending time with Jesus, so that we can then serve him more effectively. And we see the same in John 15, verse 5, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remaining in Jesus to bear fruit. Remaining in him, abiding in him, resting in him, so that we can be fruitful for him, which is what God wants for us. Rest is not just the absence of work. Rest is an opportunity to spend time with God so that God can refresh us for our work. Because work is where we serve God and where we serve others. The account of Mary and Martha gives us this particular emphasis of resting in Jesus so that we can then work and be fruitful. Friends, I hope if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you long to be fruitful. I hope you're wanting to learn, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? What does it mean to rest in Jesus so that I can be fruitful? I mean, there are many ways in which we can do that. Obviously, one is through his word and through prayer, but there are lots of other things as well. We listen to sermon downloads. We chat with each other as Christians and encourage each other as Christians. I find listening to Christian music a great help in encouraging me and in helping me to abide. Mary had chosen what is better. I wonder, are we daily choosing what is better? Are we choosing to abide, to rest in Jesus? So that through that abiding, through that resting, we might then be fruitful in our work. What does resting in Jesus look like? Well, over the next few days, weeks, months, I think many of us will be going off on holiday. We'll have days away from our normal work, whatever that may be. Days to rest. And if that's so, if you're going to go away on holiday, please let me encourage you in that rest to spend time with God. If you're away for a Sunday, please find a church or join us on live stream. But make sure you're there. Make more time for prayer, for Bible reading. Perhaps read a Christian book. We rest to work. But rest is not just about stopping work. It's about spending time with Jesus. And that finally brings us to the purpose for resting. What is the purpose? Why does God call us to rest? Well, first of all, it's for our good. We know very well, don't we, that if we don't get adequate rest, our health physically and mentally suffers. So rest is good for our well-being, our mental and our physical health. But there's more than that. There's more than that. Because Jesus is concerned that we would be fruitful. And so rest helps us with our spiritual well-being as well. As we rest, and as we rest in Jesus, so we can serve him better. And we can serve our communities better. I have a mobile phone. Here it is. Now, my grandchildren don't think that actually is a mobile phone. And you may not think it's a mobile phone either. But, you know, I know that my mobile phone, if I don't charge it up, is useless. But I do know that even this little mobile phone connects me to people. I can speak to people through it. I can even speak to people in the United States through this mobile phone. It may not be the latest, it may not be the best, but it works. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be witnesses for him. And as we saw from our recent sermon series in Acts, to do that, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need, as it were, to be plugged in. And so our resting is a time when we are, as it were, recharged to be of service for Jesus supremely in terms of the gospel. And you know, the amazing thing as well is, and as Jesus equips us to be witnesses for the gospel, we may not be the latest up-to-date in our ideas. We may be old and we may be worn out, but we can still be used for God to communicate his gospel, even us old and out-of-date models. The purpose of resting in Jesus, yes, is for our well-being physically, but it's more for our spiritual well-being, so that we can be recharged and also we can be realigned, because as we're thinking with the youngsters, there are so many things in life that we see as important, so many things in life we want to do or could do or might do or may do, and we need to be realigned as we spend time with Jesus, say, what is the most important thing? What is the main thing? The main thing is the gospel. And as we spend time with Jesus, we're re-empowered to share that gospel, but to see that gospel as vital, as central. Jesus said Mary had chosen what is better. She'd sat with Jesus. She'd rested. She was ready to serve. Friends, may that be true of all of us. May we make that same choice daily, weekly, regularly, of sitting with Jesus, resting in him, so that we are able through him to serve, to work, and to share his gospel. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this just charming encounter of Mary and Martha and Jesus, and we thank you for what it shows us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that encouragement of Jesus, just to sit and listen to him. Father, may we do that. May we do that now in the quietness of this room. May we do that in the week that lies ahead. May we do that regularly throughout our lives, so that sitting with Jesus, we may be recharged, realigned, to be his servants and to be fruitful for him in the world around us. For his name's sake, amen.